You are now listening to the Half Right Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @halfright_pod and Instagram at the Half Right Podcast. Most importantly, feel free to share with a friend and please subscribe. Now, without further ado, let's get into this week's episode.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Half Right Podcast. I am joined by my co-host, my big sister, Lakia, and we are back again to talk some wrestling. Is that how they say it? They say wrestling, right?
Wrestling.
Because we're some wrestling fans. What is that? That's like a Texas accent?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're here to do the Clash of Champions predictions. It's a thing here on our show. We do predictions. We also do the aftermath. There's so much stuff coming up with WWE. And of course, there's AEW. But we'll get to that in later episodes. But the greatest thing that's coming up after Clash of Champions is that NXT is going to be taking over Wednesdays on the USA Network.
Starting Wednesday.
So I think it'd be dope if we did a little, you know, a little show about NXT and what we think about the 2 hours. So that's going to be coming.
The first episode is actually, I heard, going to air on USA. And the second hour was going to air on WWE Network.
Really?
Yeah, the first 2 weeks, though. And then after that, I believe USA gets both hours.
Oh, that's interesting. That's news to me. Did not know.
But my thing with NXT is, I'm a like sucker, so I can't stay away from spoilers for nothing. If there's a spoiler, I'm gonna look at it. You get what I'm saying?
It's like in your face.
If I see a spoiler and I follow all those great websites like Fightful and all these great websites, and they always put out spoilers, you know, and it's not like they're trying to ruin everything. They're just, you know, putting out results to shit. They always say caution, spoilers. You get what I'm saying? But I'm like a kid. You tell me not to eat the candy, I'm going to eat the freaking candy. Like, I cannot not look at spoilers. Like, I have to look at them. Like, it's just, they're just in your face. So I'm really happy that NXT is going to be live. So I feel like I can really sit down and I'm not going to know what's going on and what's happening next. Because NXT is great TV and it's so big. I feel like that they're really on a platform. You get what I'm saying now?
Right.
Like what is the, like, what is going to make people trying to go again? What's going to make them want to move to a Raw or SmackDown? I don't really think it's moving up.
Well, anymore. I mean, like, you saw the clip that's floating around of Johnny Gargano, how happy he was to be able to stay on NXT. And I think that also NXT having this 2 hours now in the brand building as a third division of WWE and not just developmental is going to give all these superstars such as like the Lanas and the Rusev to be able to go back to NXT and have shine and really build with the up and coming. So it's like the perfect blend. It's kind of like what SmackDown was when it was initially started, but now SmackDown and Raw are doing their own tit for tat. So NXT being its own thing and getting some of the more seasoned veteran superstars to come to the brand, I think is going to be a nice little mesh that they have going on.
Yeah, I feel like NXT has truly become that third brand. You get what I'm saying? Like, it is truly that third brand now. And, you know, that's amazing, you know, that it's finally getting the shine that it, you know.
It's come a long way from FCW.
Yes, Triple H has done an amazing job with that. And I hope he continues to do an amazing job. Vince, please stay away from NXT.
Well, Triple H, I don't know if you guys saw the Up, Up, Down, Down video. The 2 million video was with Triple H. And most people like myself thought that he was going to sit down and play a game. Yeah, right. So it was basically a Triple H-esque interview. He's talking about games, but then they started talking about the business. And it was brought up about Vince. And they're like, Vince is a part of everything. Because if Vince, you know, didn't create this mastermind, none of us would be here. But Triple H made it pretty clear that NXT is NXT is NXT and that's his baby. and that Vince is around, but he don't have the reins on.
Who did this up down interview? Because I didn't see
it. Xavier Woods.
Xavier Woods is interviewing him on NXT and stuff like that.
The conversation led into NXT and just going forward with like the Fox deal and all that other stuff.
Obviously, because we know all Triple H interviews lead into NXT because, you know.
Exactly. So it was talking about games and what games he liked. And then the second part of the interview was like, all right, thanks, Hunter. Thanks. We thought you were going to play.
What games is Triple H like?
Like old school arcade games.
Oh, so he's not playing, no. He's not hopping on no Call of Duty, no NBA 2K. No. Oh, okay. I was wondering.
He was talking about how at his house, like how they have the old school arcade game for the kids. That's what I expected. I didn't expect him to be like AJ Styles out here playing the game. I didn't expect that. Yeah. All right. Now for the moment y'all been waiting for. We got NXT talk out the way. More NXT talk to come in future episodes. But let's get into these Clash of Champions predictions. Clash of Champions is the one pay-per-view where every title is on the line. It's about damn time. I don't like some of the matches that are on the card. We'll get into that as we go match by match. So let's start out with the one match that is not a title match. And this is Roman Reigns versus Eric Rowan. No disqualification. Who you got, Alfonso?
I'm be real with you. I love Roman Reigns. I think Roman Reigns can, you know, make anybody, you know, look like a star. But I've just never really been sold on Rowan. You get what I'm saying? Like, I always looked at him as the big goof from the Wyatt family. No disrespect. You get what I'm saying? But I think Rowan is best when he's in a role playing a sidekick. Roman's a sidekick. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Rowan, when you looked at that Wyatt family, the original Wyatt family, we knew Bray was a star. And then we saw Luke Harper. And Luke Harper was just putting on these crazy matches, doing some crazy cool stuff with the Usos. But Rowan, I've never really been sold on him. I mean, I like what they've done with him in the past couple weeks. But, you know, I mean, I think it would make sense for Rowan to win here. But I don't see Rowan as a star, and I don't really have the want or desire to see him go over Roman. I think Roman is going to win, and Roman should win. And I also feel like this is a deeper, there's more to this story that involves Daniel Bryan. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? There's much more.
Because that's so the lead up to the ultimate thing of Daniel versus Roman.
Yeah, which we're obviously going to love to see because, you know, Daniel Bryan, we saw their match at Fastlane a couple years ago. Two great workers who are just going to, you know, go at it. Mm-hmm. I'll be excited to see that. So I'm going to have to go. If I have to make a selection, I'm going to go with Roman. Roman's going to win. He should win. My pick's Roman.
Hands down for me is Roman. Like you said, Roman is not. You said Rowan's not a big superstar. To me, Rowan is boring. I don't find anything entertaining about him. He's another big guy, and what do big guys do? They run through everybody, right? That's what they do leading up to the pay-per-views. It's, I'm going to crush you. It's kind of like Braun Strowman, except on like a less entertaining kind of level. So Rowan is actually somebody that I could see jumping ship and going to NXT and doing something over there, because unless they put him back with Daniel, which ultimately will probably happen, I don't see anything coming of this. So I'm very disappointed with how this storyline panned out in general. So I'm going to go with Roman.
Hello?
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
I think it's because my AirPod fell out.
All right. Let me know when you're ready.
I'm ready.
All right, so moving on to the first official title match is the Cruiserweight Championship. I'm going to be real with y'all. I don't keep up with 205 Live. It's the one thing I know very little about. But it's Drew Gulak, the champ, versus Humberto Carrillo and Lince Dorado. I don't know who either of those two are.
Lince Dorado is the guy. He's with Lucha House Party.
Oh, that's his name? Okay. See, I just know Lucha as a whole group. Okay. Do you know the other guy?
Excuse me. I've heard of them. Only place I told you, only place that I run into 205 Live is on the WWE Universe Twitter page when they're, you know, giving updates on the show and what's going on. Mm-hmm. I'm not really up to date on 205 Live.
Hmm. All right. That's fair enough. So I'm just going to go with the champ because I really don't see the Cruiserweight Championship changing hands. Who you got?
I'm going to also go with the champ. You know, I have seen a little bit of Drew Gulak, and I like Drew Gulak. I mean, the other guys are probably talented. I've seen Lince Dorado. I really haven't seen the other guy. But, yeah, I think Gulak will retain.
All right.
It's now, like, I feel as though we always pick these Cruiserweight matches, and 9 times out of 10, we're always right on who ends up winning. It's so
because
fun.
You want to know why we're always right? Because the care for the Cruiserweights is very, very low. I think the Cruiserweight Championship is something that should go over to NXT.
I think the Cruiserweight Championship is something that should just be
eliminated at this point
because we see guys like Seth Rollins, AJ Styles, Rey Mysterio. They work that cruiserweight style. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's more entertaining. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, I feel like the cruiserweights were real big back in the day. You know, when you would watch wrestling, like WCW days. Mm-hmm. I'm not that old. You're kind of old. Anyway. Yeah, it was cool back in the day, but I feel like everybody's doing high flying shit these days. So
even the big guys.
So it's like, all right, like, yeah, we've seen that before, and we've seen that in bigger matches with wrestlers we like more and that matter more. So what are we like? You get what I'm saying? Like, what is this? Is this supposed to get us excited?
I just feel it's kind of stale at this point.
100% agree with you.
All right, so that's our pick for the Cruiserweight. Moving right along, let's go on to the Tag Team Championship matches. There are three, the Women's, the SmackDown, and the Raw. So starting out with the Women's Tag Team Championship match, we have the champs, Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, versus Fire and Desire. Let me say that, one, I think that Alexa and Nikki are going to retain. Fire and Desire, for those that don't know, are, what's their names?
Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville.
Right. And I also like how Nikki Cross is coming out to her own music and not Alexis, because she deserves that. She deserves her own little separate entrance. So shout out to Nikki. But I'm going to go with the champs retaining. I don't really have a problem with Mandy Rose, but out of the two, Sonya Deville is clearly a better competitor in the ring. And I just feel like as a team-wise, they work very well together, Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. But I see Alexa and Nikki holding on to this a little bit longer until Alexa does something for Nikki to get mad, and then they start feuding with each other, which is going to happen eventually. But I'm going to go with the champs. Who you got?
This is a tough one because I think, like, Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose. I love Mandy Rose, by the way.
Just okay, Corey Graves. Out there.
But anyway, I think, like, Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, they're like kind of like an upgraded version of me of the Iconics. By the way, where have the Iconics been? I love the Iconics, but I think, just like you said, Sonya Deville, she's really good in the ring.
And where have the Iconics been? One of the girls just got married to the Perfect 10, so she took a little break. There you go. That's where she
is. Oh, all right.
Yep.
Well. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to her, but anyway,
Peyton Royce, that's the one.
I like them, but yeah, I'm with you on this one. I kind of want to see the belt stay on Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss, even though I like Fire and Desire. I'm a fan of that team, but it's like, you know, Alexa has really done a lot for those belts. You get what I'm saying? Like, she's really put them on TV. There were weeks where those titles weren't being defended, weeks where they weren't on TV, and I feel months. Like Alexa, months. Yeah, months. Alexa's star power has really elevated those belts, made them mean more.
It put it right back when Bailey and Sasha had won them. So it's good
yes.
that Nikki has them.
Yes, and yes.
I think that they need to keep him until, you know, somebody like a Charlotte gets a partner, or someone like a Becky gets
or to have the original champs
to come back and get them.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's a lot of options. I do like that the women, that there is a women's tag team division. I think that another person that should come in and do the whole tag team thing, I wouldn't mind seeing Naomi get a tag team partner other than Carmella. I'd actually like to see her team up with Nia Jax. Although I know Nia was doing a thing with Tamina, but I'd like to see her team up with.
I think Naomi is like perfect. Like when she was doing her little stuff with Asuka, and I know Asuka's got, you know, Kairi Sane, mm-hmm. and you know, on a later episode, we'll get into how much Asuka has been disrespected. Asuka's one of those candidates I feel like who can move down to NXT. That's a different conversation for a different day.
Move. Could you imagine Asuka versus Shayna Baszler?
Yep, 100%.
Continue.
But Naomi will probably be good in the tag team. I'd like to see her. You know, maybe her and Ember. I feel like that'd be a great tag team. Oh,
that's cool, too. I like that one, too. That'd be
a really dope tag team, yeah. Her and Ember together.
That would be really, good. I was just thinking of her and, like, Nia, because then it would bring back that heel aspect of it. Because, you got Nia, who's bigger, and then you have Naomi, who's agile in the ring. And but wrestling style-wise, her and Ember would be great together.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, moving on to the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. The New Day, the champs, are going against the Revival. And we now have Randy Orton's Legacy 2.0, as the Revival has teamed up with Orton. And for that simple fact, I'm going to give it to the Revival.
You know what? I think the two picks, like this one and the WWE title match, they go hand in hand. You get what I'm saying? So I feel like, just like you're picking the Revival, I feel like if the Revival wins, that means Randy's going to become WWE champion. And I feel like that's kind of what you're, like, we haven't got to that pick yet, but I kind of feel like that's what you think. But I'm going to have to go with for that reason only, I'm going to have to go with the New Day. It's going to be a great match. These are two of the best tag teams in the world. You know, when WWE pays attention to tag team wrestling, which they've done a horrible job at, and we're going to talk about that a little later when we pick our next tag team match, because I really have some thoughts on that. I feel like when WWE does their best at tag team wrestling, like, WWE has some of the best tag teams in the world. You're not telling me there's any tag team better than the New Day. Or the Usos, or when the Revival's on the Revival. You get what I'm saying? Those are three of the best tag teams in the world. You get what I'm saying?
Let's talk about Undisputed Era, but okay.
Yeah, 100%. And let's not, like, there's no world in which the Young Bucks and their mini super kicks are better than the New Day. Are better than the Usos, are better than the Revival. They put on great matches with them all, but I'm personally, and I want to talk about that at the end of the show, but, you know, I'm just a fan of these two tag teams. They're going to have a great match, and you're picking the Revival, but I'm going to have to go with the New Day. The New Day will retain the titles.
But let me be clear. My heart wants New Day and Kofi to continue this spree that they're on. I want them to continue to be this powerful trio with the belts. But I also know how WWE moves, and this is Randy we're talking about. So when Randy gets plus two people and they do this super over-the-top RKO type-ish, I mean, that's why I can see the titles holding hands. And I don't think while the match will be good, I can see it being like a dirty kind of ending.
Yeah, me too. But I'm
you're going with the New Day. We've agreed so far. This is the one where we're split on. He's going with the New Day. I'm going with the Revival. All right. Now moving on to the Raw Tag Team Championship. We went from the SmackDown Tag Team Championship actually having legit teams, legit partners, to the Raw Tag Team Championship having two groups, okay, randomly put together with Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman, the champs, going against Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode. What the fuck? When you have the, what are they, the War Raiders? Is that their name?
Yeah.
When you have the War Raiders, heavy machinery, when you have actual tag teams backstage and they're getting shitted on like this because you want to go and give, listen, I like Robert Roode in a tag team anyway. WWE side. In NXT, he's fine as a heel by himself. Dolph Ziggler, he could be in a tag team, but Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler, I was not expecting that.
Robert Roode, if you really want to think about where he really blew up, you know, it was back in his TNA days with Beer Money. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm happy that he's in this spot. You get what I'm saying? Because he's been he's been underutilized for so long, mm-hmm. and Dolph is gonna run and try to make anything they give him good. You get what I'm saying? And I'm a huge fan of Dolph, but that the problem with tag team wrestling, especially when it comes to Monday Night Raw, look at the tag teams that they beat in that gauntlet. There is no way. I know WWE lacks logic, and we say to ourselves it's wrestling. You get what I'm saying? So we try to understand that. But it's like there's no way that a team freshly put together in one night should be able to beat a team of men that have dedicated their whole wrestling careers to being a tag team.
Exactly.
Like, that is literally what they do. They are tag team wrestlers.
Yeah. They're not a tag team. And that's another thing that's always pissed me off about Seth. Like, the difference between Seth teaming up with Braun versus Seth teaming up with, like, Dean or Roman is that they were a trio at one point. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were a team. So it's not like two people from a team. It's that trio, that new day aspect, that Freebird type of thing. So I respected that. But Seth Rollins having the Universal title, and it's like, I want revenge. So instead of getting a match, let me go get a title match. And it's like, come on. It's not. No. And it's hard for me to pick a winner because I just think that it's fucked up in general for all the tag teams that are just not getting a shot and not getting a chance. I want Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode to win for the simple fact that I don't want the belts to be on Seth and Braun because of what they have going on after this. But also, Seth and Braun are not a tag team to me. Just like when Braun had that little boy, what was that, at WrestleMania?
Nicholas,
shout out to Nicholas. Was that at WrestleMania? Where was that?
Yes.
It was so at a pay-per-view. I believe it was WrestleMania, but anyway.
WrestleMania 34, yes.
Okay, it was random, and I'm sick of these random-ass tag teams when there's actually tag teams there. Like, stop. So, I'm going with Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode because I feel like if they got the titles, being at their heels and that Dolph is so annoying as fuck on the mic, it would be really, really good to bring some attention back to the Raw Tag Team Championship and to the division in general. Versus Seth holding it, because Seth, I don't care what you say, Seth having the Universal and the tag team is too much. It's too much. So I'm going with Dolph and Roode.
Yeah, I agree with you, because there's certain instances where that works. You get what I'm saying? But in this instance, I don't feel as though it works. You get what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'm going to have to also go with Dolph and Roode, because, you know, hopefully they could have a little run, you know, Roode will get a belt, you know, and that'll be that. But yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Roode and Ziggler as well. I think it'll be a decent match.
Back to it's definitely gonna be a decent match, but we're not gonna get the whole shebang because of the match that's coming after that. So it's going to be a good match because all four superstars can perform, but you know, energy-wise and main event-wise, that we're not going to get a full-out tag team match. That's just facts. It's not going to be on the same caliber as New Day and the Revival, and that's not because of talent. That's because of the situation that they put Seth and Braun in.
Yeah, 100%. I agree.
All right, now going on to the United States Championship match. AJ Styles, the champ, versus Cedric Alexander. Let me just say, I completely forgot to put in Gallows and Anderson. My bad. They're another legit tag team out here. But let me just say, Cedric Alexander, I am so happy for my guy getting this main event time. He's not going to win the championship, but I like seeing him in a pay-per-view. I like him being on this match card, not on the pre-show. This is not a match that needs to be on a pre-show. No. But speaking of at Cedric Alexander, where the hell is Ricochet? Not that I think about it. Where Ricochet been at? But anyway, I'm going with AJ Styles, the champ. Who you got?
I got Styles. I think it'll be a great match. Cedric is probably going to look like a star coming out of this match. And I'm going to go with AJ, though.
All right, we're sold on that one. The Intercontinental Championship. We have Shinsuke Nakamura, the champ, who has a mouthpiece of Sami Zayn versus The Miz. I want The Miz to win because The Miz does something for the Intercontinental Championship. He really, really does. It's like the Intercontinental Championship, there's championships that just end up floating and not getting the respect they deserve. We already talked about the Cruiserweight. We talked about the United States Championship already. That one still doesn't get a lot of love, but that's a good title that AJ is holding. I really do like that. But for the Intercontinental Championship to be so prestigious, like, I mean, we're talking 40 years here, I don't think that it's getting that respect with Shinsuke holding the title. But I will say this, I do like that Shinsuke has teamed up with Sami, and I'm interested in seeing where that goes.
Yeah, me as well.
But I would, for the legitimacy of the belt, I would like for The Miz to win. Storyline-wise, I know that Shinsuke is going to retain.
Yeah, I think we all know The Miz with that intercontinental title is, you know, something amazing. You know, he's done a lot for that belt, and he's kind of been the definition of what that belt means, you know. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, next to Chris Jericho, there's nobody
next to Chris Jericho, yeah. But you know, just like you said, Shinsuke just got a mouthpiece in Sami Zayn. I think Shinsuke's for takeoff, you know. I think this is, you know, really, you know, I think Sami Zayn, this is like, I feel like this is like Shinsuke's last chance to really be taken serious. You get what I'm saying? So hopefully they're all behind Shinsuke and they give Shinsuke a shot. You get what I'm saying? And
Shinsuke's going back to NXT.
I mean, that'll be good, I feel like, for him. But I think I think Shinsuke will retain.
I agree. All right, now I'm gonna do something we usually don't do. We usually get the girls out the way, but we got to say the girls for last because it's some heat. We got to get a
few more respect. I agree.
To these Universal and WWE Championship matches, the girls can be last. So yes. Let's start.
Can we go Braun and let's go Braun and Seth. Because if we're doing it by level of importance, I love Braun, I love Seth, but I haven't really been excited by this build as we talked about earlier.
Okay, so based on the conversation we had about the whole tag team thing, Seth, the champ, the Universal champ versus Braun Strowman. Braun is not going to be Universal champion. He's not.
I hate to break it to you. I agree. Yeah.
I don't even know why this is like a thing. Like, he's not going to be Universal champ. You know what this reminds me of? When Braun was beefing with Roman, it's that same kind of thing. He just moved on to a different Shield brother. But Yeah, I don't want to spend too much time on this one. Yeah, Seth is going to retain. I don't know who's going to take the title from Seth, to be honest. I really don't. He needs to like get like a rivalry with somebody. Somebody that's not Roman, because I'm not interested in that at all.
I am. If Seth was a heel, I'd be a... That'd be the money
feud. Not, but he's not a heel. If Seth was a heel, Seth could feud with anybody as a heel. I won't care. Like, looking back at Seth's heel work when he turned on Dean and Roman, it was amazing. But at that time, it was like, Seth, you're so mean. You know, that's what happens in the moment. But then, in hindsight, you can look back and appreciate the work that he put into that character. But I don't know. Seth is not going heel. He's not.
He's just not. I agree, he's not. Yeah.
He's not going heel. There's a lot of people that should go heel. Roman should have went heel a long time ago. We know that ship has sailed, especially with all of the work that he's doing with the cancer, with the pediatric cancer, and I'm pretty sure he's going to be doing Breast Cancer Awareness Month too. So being that he's the face of that, I don't see him going heel at all. He's just that guy that'll whoop your ass. That's just his character now.
Yeah, I think that's what he is. Character should stay as.
Yeah, so, I mean, I understand that. But Seth could go heel. I don't see why. I would love to see him and Becky go heel and just fuck all the shit up. That's what I want to see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even though they want to keep their... I understand they want to keep their love life. But let me say this. What other couple that other than Seth and Becky are in that prime... And they're about to be... What other couple was like that? Do you know one?
I don't know. I love Seth and I love Becky. And I'm happy that they, you know, found love with each other. You know, that's dope.
But I was really thinking, like, what other couple, though?
I don't care. I don't really care to see Seth and Becky as an on-screen couple.
I'm not even talking on-screen couple, because we already talked about that in a previous episode about how, nah, we're good on that. The whole Lacey and Baron thing, we're good. But I'm just thinking in general, like, what couple has held the titles like that? I mean, Stephanie and Triple H don't really count, because that was like a fluke. I mean, like, actual competitors holding the title, and you know that they're like together as a couple. I can't recall any. So shout out to Seth and Becky. But we're going to move on to the WWE Championship. This long storied history between Kofi, the WWE Champion Kingston, versus the Viper and the leader of Legacy 2.0, Randy Orton. You already know my pick is Randy, because I picked the Revival. And because you picked the New Day,
my pick is Kofi Kingston. Let me explain to you for a second why, you know, I'm picking Kofi here. I just think that, you know, Kofi, he's needed a run to define, you know, he's needed that win to define his title run. Define it. You get what I'm saying? Really, like, make it his own. Like, he's needed that win. And I feel as though, you know, this is it. This is the win that he needs. You get what I'm saying? Excuse me, it's late, y'all. It's like 1:03 Eastern time. I'm tired as hell. But anyway, I think Kofi gets it done here. And I think he needs to get it done. I'm cool if they do. I'm cool if Randy ends up taking the belt over Kofi. And I'm cool if the reign ends. But this story between Randy and Kofi, I don't know if you agree with me, Lakia, but we need to see Kofi get one up at least once.
Yeah, we do.
You get what I'm saying? We need to see it, I feel like, in my opinion. We need to see an image where Kofi, the good guy, wins. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Kofi Kingston, the good guy overcomes. He overcomes all the shit that Randy has thrown at him. Because this Randy Orton story, this is real life. You get what I'm saying? This is... Randy Orton, it's the story's been well documented that Randy didn't feel as though Kofi was ready. He called him stupid, hit him with an RKO. This is real life shit. And Kofi has overcome all of that to become WWE champion. And his reign, this reign that he's been on, which has been, you know, so motivational for a lot of people who look different, who are different, to see Kofi in this spot, it needs to see him beat Randy Orton at least once, clean, in the middle of the ring. It needs to see it. And I think on Sunday, I'm picking, maybe I'm going heart over head, you're going head over heart, but I'm going to go with Kofi Kingston. I think Kofi gets it done.
I don't have nothing to say to that. That was good. Shit. I don't have nothing. So we're going to move on to the girls. Damn, Alfonso. That was very riveting.
We're doing SmackDown first, right? Because we got to save my baby. She's the main. We got to save her for last.
Hold on. Let me just say that Clash of Champions is a four horsewoman takeover. They should just rename it that.
Women's wrestling is better when those four women are at the top.
The four horsewomen are competing for the coveted titles of the women's division on the
they run the game.
Brands, okay?
They run the game.
Let me tell you who's over on SmackDown. We have the new heel of Bayley. The person we never ever thought would get that heel turn is a fucking heel. Bayley. And if you have seen her wrestling in the ring since she's gone heel, it's the best that she's been. She's aggressive. Her Bayley to Bayleys are hitting harder, and you know how much I hate that damn finisher. But she is getting busy in the ring, and I'm all for heel Bayley. So Bayley's going against Charlotte. And since, you know, you just gave that amazing speech, that spiel about, you know, Kofi and Randy, Bayley and Charlotte, Bayley is still that underdog out of the four horsemen. I don't care what they say about Becky, okay? Becky has beat Charlotte, right?
Bayley, Sasha's beat Charlotte.
Sasha's beat them all. We'll get to your girl in a second. But Bayley still, you know, it was like that thing with Alexa. For Bayley to be a solidified champ, and for her to really be a heel, she has to continue to be aggressive, but she cannot let Charlotte become a 10-time champ in her hometown of all places. Nobody needs a 10-time champ in Charlotte Flair. We don't need it right now.
Not yet. We need it eventually. It's not now.
No, I'm not saying that I don't want it down the line, but with the way that she always just gets shit handed to her. I'm not saying that she doesn't physically deserve it, but her name also gives her a little bit of a push compared to everybody else in the division. So, and that's just facts. I'm going with Bayley. I'm so happy that she's healed. I didn't need her to team up with her best friend, but shit, it's about to get real good. And let the games begin. I'm going with Bayley. Who you got?
I'm going to go with Bayley as well. I think Bayley needs this win. Bayley needs this win far more than Charlotte does. Mm-hmm. And I think she will get this win.
Then we move on to the match that everybody's waiting for. The Man versus the Boss. The champ versus the blueprint. Becky Lynch versus the fresh return badass bitch Sasha Banks.
Y'all know I love the boss.
I'm going with Sasha because it's kind of like that twofold of Sasha and Bayley standing at the end. One of these matches needs
this,
to be the main
event. This needs the main event. This one right here needs the main event.
Man, I'm telling
Becky,
you.
Becky's been on this run. And this crazy wild run that Becky's been on deserves to end in the main event of a pay-per-view.
Not only does it deserve to end in a main event of a pay-per-view, she needs to have one of her sisters take the belt off her. Period. And why not give it to Sasha, the one out of all of them that hasn't had a title reign?
Yeah, a true title reign. Sasha's never had a true title reign.
But she's never had a title reign.
I'm, y'all know I love Sasha. So I think this is Sasha's time. I think Sasha will win. Sasha needs to win. If she doesn't win, you're kind of ruining her credibility. You get what I'm saying? She came back as this badass boss, and then you have her lose. I don't think that makes any sense whatsoever.
Let me tell you something right now. Sasha didn't come back not to get a title. It's a given.
She didn't. Sasha, I think, is really... Sasha's writing the blueprint. I feel like she's really, like, writing the blueprint on, you know, being in control of her career. You get what I'm saying? Like, she's showing, like, she went away and she came back and she's hotter than ever. Like, you get what I'm saying? I'm going to have to go with, as you said, I'm going to have to go with Sasha Banks. As I said, I could say I'm going to go with Sasha Banks all day because I love Sasha Banks. She is the love of my life. And if she told me to, never mind, I'm not going to say that.
No, we're not going to go there.
This is a PG podcast.
We're not going to go anyway. There.
But, and she's married, which I respect. And even though I would never have a chance with her anyway. But anyway, that's a different topic for a different day. I love Sasha Banks. But anyway, I just think Sasha, she's on top of her game. She's a boss. You know, it's in her name, the boss, Sasha Banks. And I think this is going to be a great match. This is going to steal the show. Sasha, you put her in a big money match. You put her in a big money environment. She's going to show up. I've never seen Sasha Banks in a place where, in a moment where she has to deliver, where it's been expected of her to deliver. I've never seen her not deliver. So when push comes to shove, Sunday night, this needs to be the main event. I don't know if it will. I'm kind of 50-50 on it. It should main event. These women, they should go on back-to-back end of the show. That's what it should be. These women should main event.
This is the only time saying? Where them going on back-to-back makes so
they I'm going to be real with you. They're the thing that is making people, I feel like, watch wrestling. They're the thing I'm most excited on this card for. We know Bayley and Charlotte. We know those two together. We've seen them in the ring. Great chemistry. They bring out the best in each other. The four horsewomen bring out the best in each other. When they are competing, they are at their very best. They bring out the best in each other. And you know, to see what these women have done, because I truly love women's wrestling. Like, the women's wrestling, and I know a lot of people go back to this match and really say, like, I always felt like women could do more in wrestling, but the match that made me love women's wrestling, like, really love women's wrestling, where it wasn't just, no, you know, horny teenage kid and I like the way these women look, but it was like, no, these are really, they're the best wrestlers on this show, was that NXT TakeOver Brooklyn match, you know, between Sasha and Bayley, you know? And then you've seen the revolution of Charlotte and what she's came in and what she's been able to do. Charlotte is by far, and I've said it before, and you guys know how much I love Sasha. Charlotte is the best female wrestler of all time. And I went back and I've watched some of the greats and I've watched them in their prime. Nobody is better than Charlotte. I feel like this is a bold statement. When Charlotte's career is over, she'll be a top five wrestler of all time. I'm talking about male or female. When you put them all bunching together, Charlotte will be a top 10 wrestler of all time.
She's the first ballot Hall of Famer.
First ballot. I feel like all four of these women are. For what they've done for the business and what they've revolutionized and the way they made the way that people look at women's wrestling change, you know. And I love Ronda Rousey, and I was real big on, you know, her coming to WWE, and I feel like she did a lot, you know, to help elevate the women's division, as you do too. You believe that pay-per-view was because of her, which it was. You're 100% right on that. But, you know, I feel like this is the moment that these women have been waiting for. These four women, the two biggest prizes in the business, and Sunday night, they get to go out there and put on two show stealers. And when you leave the show, you're like, those women right there, they were the biggest stars of the show. And, you know, that's going to be special. And I think Charlotte and Bayley are going to have a phenomenal match. I think Becky and Sasha are going to have a phenomenal match. I think Sasha and Becky are going to have a match of the night. I hope my expectations aren't too high and they don't let me down, but when it comes to Becky or Sasha or any of the four horsewomen and they're against each other, they rarely let me down. So I'm just looking forward to a great match, a match that should main event. And, you know, I got Sasha winning. I got Bayley winning. And I think we need to end Clash of Champions with those two standing in the ring. Bayley is the SmackDown Women's Champion. Sasha is the Raw Women's Champion. Because they've kind of taken a back seat over the years to Charlotte and Becky. Like, if you look at it, it's really great storytelling for once. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Oh, we're like, we saw Sasha and Bayley in the crowd while we were at WrestleMania. They were literally in the crowd watching the main event. You get what I'm saying? They weren't in the main event. They were on the card, but they weren't in the main event. And they worked just as hard as Becky and Charlotte to be in the main event. And that's not to take anything away from Becky or Charlotte or Ronda, but Bayley and Sasha deserve to be in the first women's WrestleMania main event. I'm not going to say it didn't fit the context of that story and it wouldn't have made no sense, but those women paved the way. Charlotte and Becky were right where they belong, the main event of WrestleMania.
But then we Ronda have someone like Ronda Rousey, who is this big name ticket, who she brought in people to start watching her just to see what she could do. I'm pretty sure the people that tuned in to watch Ronda were not sitting up till 1 o'clock in the morning. I guarantee you that. Guarantee you they were not. To see Ronda, I'll just catch it on YouTube. I'll just catch it on the flip side. They were not sitting up to watch that because they're not real wrestling fans. They're fans of her. They were not sitting up till 1 o'clock in the morning to watch Ronda. So when you have someone like Ronda, who's just this big name, it sucks that she was able to, I don't have anything against Ronda because I think that she did help the women's division and she was better than what I expected her to be, okay? But when you have all these other women looking at Ronda, it's like, damn, you just came in and you pointed at the damn sign and you said, ooh, WrestleMania, I'm going to be there. And then you main event? We got an all-women's pay-per-view because of you, because Ronda Rousey is not a women's evolution to me. There's been so much happening before then.
I'll have to interrupt you and debate you on that. Ronda Rousey is the whole fucking women's evolution, if you really want to talk about it. Ronda Rousey is part of, I'm not going to say she's the whole evolution, but what Ronda Rousey was doing in UFC made WWE realize how much money they could make off of women's wrestlers.
Listen to what I'm saying. You're talking about two different things. You're talking about...
Lakia, this is all cause and effect. Ronda Rousey making money and headlining UFC pay-per-views made Vince McMahon and Stephanie and Triple H realize how much money they could make by making Vince McMahon, let's say Vince, because at the end of the day, we could talk about Vince all we want. All that really matters is what he thinks. You get what I'm saying? So... Ronda Rousey's ability to sell and, you know, make money and draw really helped. You know, she revolutionized women's fighting, women's sports figures, women's combat sports. Ronda played a huge part in that. So I think to say she's not a part of the evolution or she's not the biggest part.
But listen to what I'm saying, though. I'm talking about the women that have fought so hard to, you know, get out of the, I'm not a diva, you know, where you have someone like Paige comes in, someone like AJ, you can even go back to Caitlyn, you know, these were not the girls that were overly sexy. Like AJ came out to the ring with shorts and Converse, like ready to fight. That's what I mean as far as the evolution and Ronda not having a part in that. When you look at the evolution, I'm talking about Charlotte when she came fresh from NXT before she had that damn robe like her father. Fresh ass Charlotte, then Becky when she still had the damn...
But you have to understand. You have to understand around that...
Let me finish. I completely understand what you're saying. I'm just playing devil's advocate for the people, the smaller people of the division that are looking at her like,
well, let me tell you something.
I don't listen. Ronda Rousey, the first time I saw Ronda Rousey, I knew she was different. I knew that her coming into the women's division was going to change it for the better, not make it worse. I was concerned about her fighting style, how that would translate into a wrestling style, because it's two different things. And I feel like her training and what they put together for her as a character and putting her actual personality, I feel like they could have pushed the envelope with more things storyline wise, but I'm happy with how they packaged her. I'm just saying that to have everything be Ronda is not fair. That's all.
You're right, but I understand you're talking for the smaller people, but in Vince McMahon's eyes, I don't really think the smaller people matter.
You get what I'm saying? Of course they don't matter. Of course someone like Lana is not going to matter, or Carmella, or Tamina. They're not going to matter to Vince at all. Alicia Fox. They're not going to matter. Do they have t-shirts? Carmella has a t-shirt. Lana. Oh, Lana Day. But she has that because of Rusev. So, no, she really don't have a t-shirt. Alicia Fox. The hell is she doing? So, I mean,
I don't know. Every time I hear about Alicia, she getting drunk somewhere.
So, I mean, I just, you know. So, that wraps it up for Clash of Champions. There's a couple more things I want to touch on. King of the Ring, real quick. The finals, Monday Night Raw. Baron Corbin versus Chad Gable. I posted on our Twitter that Elias was going to win, and I still stand by that. Elias just happened to injure his ankle. So
Baron Corbin is going to become King of the Ring.
Baron Corbin is going to win King of the Ring.
Baron Corbin should win King of the Ring. His match is in the King of the Ring tournament. Say whatever you want about Baron Corbin and his fucked up ring attire.
Hey,
Baron
Corbin is one of the
Baron. Yeah, it's still bad, but Baron Corbin is one of the best big men wrestlers in the WWE today.
Man, and
you look at him wrestle, and Baron Corbin. People are like, Baron is getting like go away heat, this and that. I'm like, Baron is not getting go away heat. Baron is getting that we don't like you heat. Like, you get what I'm saying? That's the type of heat that Baron's getting. Like I feel like Baron is truly a heel. Like, in an age where heels are cool and people like heels and they like the bad guys, Baron is really, like, a great heel. Like, you get what I'm saying? I'm a fan of Baron. And I never thought I'd say that. Because that stuff what he was doing when he was, you know, Constable Corbin was horrible. But I'm a fan. I'm a fan.
You know what I'm so upset about is that I'm happy that Baron Corbin is going to be able to really take his career to the next level. It's been a long time coming. But where the fuck is my guy Drew McIntyre at? Where is Drew?
I heard Drew's hurt.
Really? Oh, man. He's hurt?
Yep.
Damn. He didn't even do anything.
You have anything else you want to talk about? Because it's like 1:23 and I'm tired.
No, we completely covered. I wanted to talk about that. I just wanted to get your thoughts on King of the Ring. We will be back on Sunday. Sunday night.
We're going to do an instant analysis. Let's just hope Lakia isn't on a date again.
That's
what's been messing us up, because she's always on dates. I hope your ex-boyfriend isn't listening to this. He's going to be very upset.
Get it how you live it, y'all. Date, live, life. Watch wrestling. Do whatever the fuck you want to do
And on that one, we are out of here. We are out of here. Lakia is delirious, and she's
bye.
She's
going to
say something on here she shouldn't say. So we out of here.
That wraps it up for another episode of the Half Right Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @HalfRight_pod and Instagram at @TheHalfRightPodcast. Feel free to share with a friend and subscribe. Until next time, thanks for tuning in.